Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we'll review the new project from Chicago rapper Rick Wilson and L.A. producer and multi-instrumentalist Terrace Martin. But first, Jim and I are walking down memory lane to recall our best experiences watching live music. Jim, you're going to start us off today, right?
Greg, we were just comparing notes. It was devilishly hard for both of us to come up with only four each. We might have to do this show, I don't know, 7-8 times a year. Especially right now, when we're jonesing on live music. I just wrote a piece about how much I am missing small, sweaty club shows for the New Yorker, of all places. I'm going to start out, though, with a show that was anything but small. It was massive. It was the biggest, most ambitious concert I've ever seen in my life. And I saw it when I was only a junior in high school, February 1980. Pink Floyd, after years of absence from the concert stage, came out to perform The Wall in its entirety only a handful of times in the UK, out west in California, and at the Nassau Coliseum on Long Island. I was a Pink Floyd super fan. I bugged my mom about getting tickets. We went to a ticket agency. Turned out to be a scalper that took my money, and I never got tickets. But then my cousin Douglas, my cousin who introduced me to all things great in music, came up with tickets, and me and a high school buddy, and Doug and an older buddy of his, you know, he's probably 3 or 4 years older, but to me, he was so world wise and cool, and that's why my mom let me go in the first place. You know, so Pink Floyd comes out, and they play The Wall. They build a wall, massive wall, 30, 40 feet tall, across the stage. They destroy the wall. You know, the entire concert is the album, and there's nothing left but big, huge styrofoam bricks filling the stage. They came out, and they did the last song on The Wall, that little acoustic ditty, and that was it. I was, you know, this disappointed, he said, holding his fingers tightly together, that there were no other songs, you know, because I really wanted to hear something from Dark Side, Animals, or Wish You Were Here, but I had just seen the most amazing moment ever. Now, Cousin Doug, being older and world-wise, as I said, you know, he had perhaps some stimulation of the sort that you smoked, and I was way too square, even as a junior in high school, to partake. The experience itself was psychedelic enough, especially the high point for me. When the wall is built, there's a little intermission, and then suddenly the lights go down again, and David Gilmour is on a crane. You don't know this, but it seems as if he's standing on top of this wall and delivering that immortal solo from Comfortably Numb. And he's backlit, and his shadow goes across the entire Coliseum. You know, it was like mind blown, young Jim. Oh my God, I will never see anything better than this. Certainly, I've never seen anything more spectacular. Pink Floyd, The Wall in Long Island, of all places, in 1980. Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd from that Wall concert. Man,
Well, you know, Jim, I can relate to this adolescent experience of, you know, growing into manhood and going to see shows is kind of a big deal, like a life-transforming kind of deal. I was all of 18, 19 years old when I started going to shows and covering them and actually getting paid to review them, which was a big deal for me anyway. And when I was in Milwaukee going to Marquette University, I got to see a ton of shows. And I think the most formative experiences for me were that period between 75 and 78. The one that I wanted to highlight was Iggy Pop's tour behind the Idiot album, which he had recorded with David Bowie. Pop was resurrected by his friend David Bowie. Bowie was a huge fan of Iggy and the Stooges and basically brought him back into the rock world, the mainstream, by helping him record a couple of albums, The Idiot in 1976 and then Lust for Life in 1977, and then following up with tours. On the first of those tours, Bowie actually played in Iggy Pop's backing band. So he was the keyboard player. They played a show on April 1st, 1977 at the Oriental Theater in Milwaukee, about a 1,500 capacity venue. In my guise as a kid reviewer, I got front row seats. I was taking photos and I was reviewing the show. I was literally 20 feet from Iggy Pop. I was about 25 feet from David Bowie, who was seated behind Iggy throughout the entire show playing. I think most of the people in that audience were there to see Bowie. I was there to see Iggy. I mean, Bowie was a nice, you know, plus, but I wanted to see Iggy Pop, this guy I'd heard about for so many years, perform for the first time, and it did not let me down in any way. You know, the one thing that stands out about that show, Jim, Iggy, of course, was shirtless. Mm-hmm. But the tone of his skin, it seemed like ivory. I'd never seen anybody so white in my entire life. Yeah. And that only enhanced the blazing image of his eyes popping out of that body. And, you know, he saw me up front taking pictures. I'm like a kid in a candy store, right? And he's posing in front of me like, okay, kid, I'm going to slow it down here for you so you can get a good shot, you know?
Yeah,
it's one
yeah.
of those weird moments that you never forget. Blondie, they were the opening act. This was a young Deborah Harry and Blondie at that time. Not many people knew about them outside of New York City. But they were pretty memorable as well. But I just remember Bowie backing up Iggy here and Iggy doing Iggy things that, you know, what he did there, he did many, many times in his career. I think he was the single best live performer I've ever seen. And Bowie enjoying it as much as any fan in the audience. You could tell Bowie was loving the fact that this guy was doing his thing in front of an audience and doing it well. And Bowie was very happy to be there as an instrument of that change from Iggy basically being over, his career being over, to the guy who suddenly was reemerging in the spotlight, which he richly deserved. Here's a track from that tour. It's not from that particular show, but in 1977, he was debuting a lot of this new material that he was recording. Here's one of the tracks that he was playing on those 77 tours for the first time, Lust for Life from Iggy Pop on Sound Opinions.
Fine, fine pick, Mr. Cott. For my next pick, I am going to Maxwell's in Hoboken, New Jersey. I don't think any place, any single place in my life has shaped me more than that small club, perhaps 150 capacity. For years before I turned legal age, they had raised the drinking age just as I was in sight in New Jersey of being legal to 21. For years, Steve Fallon, the owner of that club, let me sneak in as a journalist, a fanzine writer. And there are any number of shows I could highlight from those years going to Maxwell's. That sense of community in that small room and incredible music bringing us together. Off in the Feelies, some of my favorite shows I've ever seen. But I'm going with Husker Du. They started playing, of the many times I saw them at Maxwell's, at 10 p.m. on December 31, 1984. And when they finished, a new year had dawned. And they played two sets. They were just incredible. Because as much as we both love Husker Du, we have to admit that the recordings from that era, while the songs are great, the production is just dreadful by Spot on SST, one named engineer. You know, and the way that material came to life live, they had this giant set list, they tacked it on the wall, they just ran down everything. Much of it we hadn't heard before. These songs were incredible. One of the songs I hadn't heard is what I'm going to highlight, but first, I have to tell the story after this incredible 2 or 3 hours of music. Steve Fallon lets most people filter out, and then there's an after party. And Bob Mould and Grant Hart, the guitarist and drummer, the twin songwriters, are both wrestling fans. And they were men of considerable girth at that point. They stripped down to their briefs, and they wrestled. They were wrestling fans. Bob later did music for pro wrestling. And we got to watch Husker Du not only play, but then wrestle. And I emerge, and it must be, I don't know, you know, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and the sun is coming up over the Hudson River. I've parked on Frank Sinatra Drive, and all that's going through my head is this song I heard for the first time again and again and again, New Day Rising. That's the only line of lyric in the New Day Rising, New Day Rising, and it's a new year, and I'm young, and I've seen the best show of my whole life until the next show I'll see. Best New Year's Eve moment ever. Unfortunately, we couldn't find the recording of that song from that show at Maxwell's, but here is a live version from 1987 in London. Husker Du with New Day Rising on Sound Opinions.
Husker Du with New Day Rising. Jim saw them in a prime moment in their career. I'm going to leap ahead here. We've been focusing on our formative shows from the early days. I probably saw Husker Du probably a dozen times in the 80s. They were definitely my favorite band of that era. Another one of my favorites was Neil Young. Never let me down in a show. I've never seen Neil give a bad show.
I agree.
He did play several incredible shows as well. And I think the most incredible of those was in at the Horde Festival from 1997 at the New World Music Theater in Tinley Park, a very undistinguished venue that Neil nonetheless just played a fantastic show one hot, muggy afternoon. And the reason it was so fantastic, this storm blew in and the rain was literally coming in sideways underneath the pavilion. It was drenching everybody. Lightning in the air. The clouds were hurricane-level black. It was just like, what is going on here? It truly looked terrifying. In fact, I don't ever recall being truly fearful at a show except for that one. It was one of those moments where you kind of think, you know, this could be really, really bad. And Neil Young and Crazy Horse are playing on stage. And the one thing that was just amazing to see is that they never stopped. It was the rain was blasting them in the face. The weather conditions were getting worse by the second. There was floodwaters running down the aisles. The aisles kind of cascaded down toward the stage, and those aisles were just filled with rushing water like a rapids, you know, in a river. And Young and Crazy Horse just kept going and going. I just remember the Jolly Roger flag on Ralph Molina's drum kit ripping in the wind, and it looked like you thought of a sinking ship. And there were moments where everybody started to panic. And then he looked at the stage, and Young is still playing. Okay, it's cool. We're still playing rock and roll, folks. The power went out. The sound went off. Young and Crazy Horse are still playing. They must have been hearing a little bit of themselves through the monitors up on stage. We couldn't hear it in the audience, but they are still going. You know, they're still playing, rocking out, playing hard. What is the song they're playing when the hurricane-like conditions hit their peak? Like a hurricane, of course. Even at half volume, they sounded absolutely heroic in that moment. The rain kept coming, but no one was panicking anymore. And if these guys were crazy enough to stomp around up there with their electric instruments, the least we could do was stick around and cheer them on. And everybody started getting these big goofy smiles on their face. I remember starting to laugh at a certain point. It was just so giddily crazy to be seeing this happen in front of us. And they finished the set, the rain dissipated, and Neil walks off, and all he says is, "Nice night," and waves, and good night. You know, just another day at the office for Neil Young and Crazy Horse. Incredible show. Here's we don't have a recording from that show because you probably couldn't hear it anyway, but at the moment things got the absolute worst, here's the song that Neil Young and Crazy Horse were playing, "Like a Hurricane," on Sound Opinions.
Neil Young, long may he run, Greg. One of our favorites of all time. After a break, we're going to share more memorable moments of live music from our careers. That's in a minute from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.